Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, October the 24th. A very rainy day here in North Texas. Lots of rain, especially in the afternoon and in the evening. I think it's going to go away a little bit. We still have the threat of rain for tonight and tomorrow, but not as much as today. Today we're going to check with our friend Duke Machado. I was looking at my archives, and I see that we spoke with him first back in 2012. Of course, there was an election in 2012, and that's probably why we chatted with him back then. But today we're going to talk about Hispanics and President Trump. You know, President Trump was in Dallas about a week ago. You may remember the big visit that he had, the big crowds that he had, lots of enthusiasm. And one of the things that many in the media picked up on is that there were many signs. There were many people in the crowd, inside the arena, outside the arena, who were Hispanics, and many signs, you know, Latinos for Trump, Hispanics for Trump, Latinas for Trump, lots of different signs. And many people watch that and they say, gee, something's happening here. So last Sunday, I was on Telemundo and we were talking about that. And I said, you know, I don't have any scientific data to say this number or that number, but I feel that something is happening. I do feel that there's something happening out there with Hispanics, and more of them are joining the Trump reelection. And specifically tonight, that's what we're going to talk with Duke Machado, who has been very active in Hispanic Republican politics here in Texas. So let me say hello to our friend Duke. Let me get your microphone on. There you are. Hello, Duke. How are you?
Good, Silvio. How you doing, sir?
Just doing great. Is it raining? You're in Central Texas, right? Did you get rain down there?
Yeah, we had a little rain earlier. It came through, and it's pretty much passed now. But yeah, we had a little bit today.
Yeah, so did we up here. We actually had a lot of rain in the afternoon today. Well, I mentioned as part of the introduction that you know, we spoke back in 2012 and a few other times since. So what are you doing now, specifically with Latinos for Trump and Hispanics for Trump? What is your activity at the moment with that group?
Yes. Well, thank you for asking. I am the National Social Media Director for the RNHA, Republican National Hispanic Assembly. And we have lots of our leadership members are part of President Trump's Latinos for Trump coalition. Now, it's obvious that Hispanics will make a difference in this upcoming election, mm-hmm. and President Trump knows that Hispanics, could have a big impact in his election, and mm-hmm. there are plenty of conservative Hispanics. You see them more. They're showing up at the rallies. More and more Hispanics are kind of stepping out and getting out of their comfort zone, wearing MAGA hats and Latinos mm-hmm. for Trump shirts and things like that. You know, you're right. There is maybe not so much scientific polling data. There's a little information out there, but who really believes these polls anyway? I think it's what we see, what we hear, what we, mm-hmm. you know, can wrap our minds around. And it does seem like there is more support for President Trump this time around than last time around.
Right. Let me ask you just a curiosity question. Why is it called Latinos for Trump or Hispanics for Trump? Maybe I'll answer my own question. Is it Latinos for Trump so that it includes all Latin Americans or all Hispanic, like myself being Cuban, others being Puerto Rican or whatever, whereas the word Hispanic often is associated with Mexican Americans, but Latino seems to cover everybody. Am I right on that?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I don't think people don't necessarily take offense to be called Hispanic or Latino. It's not,
no,
it's not that. I do believe that Latino is a more broad. So Latino would encompass, you know, everyone who essentially is from Spanish-speaking countries. So who are American citizens, that's the key to obviously our voting, people who we want voting, Cubans, Cuban-Americans, Puerto Ricans. We're going to go with Venezuelan-Americans, Mexican-Americans, Colombia, all these people who came here for the American dream, and they're chasing that dream still, and they need to live in a country that will continue to allow them to chase that dream, and I think they see that happening with President Trump.
Absolutely, and especially our friends from Venezuela who have become very strong Republicans. If you've noticed that development down in Florida. Now, the reason I asked you the question, it was just a curiosity on my part, because when we first came to the United States from Cuba back in the 60s, we were called Latinos. That's what we were called. And then the word Hispanic became popular later. But Latinos is what people would call us, you know, people of Latin American descent or Spanish descent or whatever. So I was just curious. I like the word Latinos for Trump. I really think I like that a lot. I think it gives it a more broad-based, you know, more broad-based identification. And I do know for a fact that there are lots and lots of people from Argentina, for example, from Chile, from Brazil, from Venezuela, of course, who are very strong Trump supporters, because I know them. I talk to them. And as I was saying to Telemundo the other day when I was there, that I cannot prove it with a poll that says this number or that number, but there is something we're seeing, as you're saying, there's something you're seeing. You're seeing more and more Latinos for Trump. You're seeing more and more, you know, Hispanics or Latinos coming out and saying, I support this president. And I think that speaks volumes, because that's kind of contagious, if you know what I mean, Duke.
Well, and there's reasons for it. This is not happening just by chance. You know, because of policies that President Trump has put into effect, Hispanics have the lowest unemployment rates ever in the history of our nation. You know, what does that mean? That means that Hispanics at this time under President Trump are having success. They're winning. And so we know this. We feel it. We see it. You know, we get to chase our dream under President Trump. He's not trying to penalize us, take all of our money like Democrats slash socialists want to do. You know, he's for a strong military. He's for a strong national security. He wants a border wall. It's national security issues. Who doesn't want a strong nation? So these are things that, you know, look, Hispanics join the military at really high rates. So there's a lot of patriotism, a lot of pride in our military veterans. And
that's
they
right.
know that President Trump is making a stand where the previous president would kneel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all these things are evident to us. We don't need the media, which we know lies to us anyway. Just like ABC got caught. Was it ABC got caught doctoring footage of explosions and things, trying to say that President Trump's decision to withdraw from the Syria area was causing immediate death and attacks on the people. It was all doctored footage. And so, you know, we know now that the such phrases, fake news. So, you know, what you're doing, Silvio, and, you know, I do this as well for the RNHA. We have our podcast. We talk about things and we get the real word out to the people. And that's the most important mission that we have right now, is to get the truth out there.
That's right. And I think one of the, you're exactly right about the economy. You know, I was reading about 3 or 4 months ago, I was reading an article that confidence among small businesses was at an all-time high. And I said to myself, well, who is a big part of our small businesses? Hispanics. I mean, you walk into any Hispanic community, any Hispanic section of any city, and you see a lot of small businesses. So if
yes.
the economy is doing well, those small businesses are doing well.
And that
is something that is hard to quantify. It's hard to do that in a poll, but you can see it with your eyes. You can talk to people. You know, I'll just say one quick story, Duke. I think it really tells the story. I was at a social event recently, and there were people speaking Spanish and English. And behind me, you know, I could hear a couple of mothers talking, and the mothers were saying, you know, my son graduates next June, and he already has three job offers. And you could tell this woman was excited. She should be. It's her son. But, you know, those two people are happy with the economy. So when you go to those people and you say the economy stinks, they're going to say, well, I don't think so. Look, we're doing well. And that's where I think eventually all this economic news, you know, begins to click in people's minds that something good is happening under President Trump, Duke.
Well, yes, he's lowering taxes. People keep more of their money. And, you know, what I do in the real world, okay, we get out of the political world. In the real world, I'm in the home building business and the pool building business. And, you know, I was in the car business for 25 years. And so I'm going to tell you right now, if you drive through any subdivision, you're going to see minimum 3 to 5 homes being built. You're going to see on every one of these job sites, 70 to 75, maybe to even 80% of the employees, they're Hispanics. And I'm not making that up. And all across the state of Texas, this is happening. Texas is growing at a rapid rate. And, you know, this is not new. We knew this would happen. We knew that Texas was going to have massive growth. So here we are. People are working. They're making money. They're seeing success. They're saving some of their money. They're maybe for the first time ever sending their kids to college or trying to advance their family. And here you have the Democrats with their story of, you know, trying to impeach the president for messing with Russia. Well, we all know who was really messing with Russia. And so you see all these things. Hispanics aren't stupid. We Democrats may have been hoodwinked for quite some time, but we're not stupid. And at some point, the ether wears off. And right now,
it's starting,
see the reality of what is happening to the Hispanic community.
Right. No,
under
I think
Democrat
you're exactly
control.
Right. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think also a lot of Hispanics look at California and they say, my gosh, is that really what we want? Because California is a disaster. I mean, if you're a Hispanic in California, you cannot afford the rent. You cannot afford to live. So that's I think a lot of them are figuring that out. But let me tell you something that I believe is going to be a great opportunity for Republicans and Hispanics in 2020. And this is something that we've talked about before, but I believe we may have now reached the point where it could actually work with Republicans. And I'm talking about abortion. For years, you know, the Democrats had basically got away with the topic. You know, during the Hillary Clinton campaign, during the Obama campaigns, you know, they didn't go into any of the Hispanic communities talking about abortion because they knew that they would get nowhere. But now you have a situation where the topic of abortion has become so radical. Now we're talking about late-term abortion. Now we're even talking about abortion in a late pregnancy. And I think that my gut feeling, I don't know this for a fact, but my gut feeling is that this is an issue where President Trump is going to hit the Democrats very hard, and he's going to force the Democrats to say yes or no whether they support late-term abortion. And my own feeling of the Hispanic community is that abortion doesn't work in the Hispanic community. It's not a winning issue in the Hispanic community, being very mother-oriented, very family-oriented, and a really a very religious community, Duke.
you know, I'm sitting here and hearing you say that, and I'm asking for wisdom. I'm praying right now for the right words for this, because I'm going to tell you that you're right. Abortion is a game changer with Hispanics. And there are, I have heard Hispanic people, Latino people say that abortion is the reason why they can no longer vote for Democrats, because they've seen those videos of Planned Parenthood selling baby parts, body parts for profit. They've seen how disgusting that is. A lot of them have seen the movie Unplanned that goes into what Planned Parenthood, their agenda really is. And so, you know, for the Democrat Party to hang their hat on third trimester abortions or even after birth abortions, that should, I say this, Silvio, because I don't have 100% confidence that that is enough, because it's, look, Democrats have used the media to steer people away from Christ, away from God. And people don't quite have the godly principles instilled in them deeply that they should see this and it be obvious to them. It should be obvious. You should never support a party that wants to do this. And I hope that the wisdom hits all of our Latino brothers and sisters across the country, and they break from the Democrat Party.
You know, I wrote an article about this a couple of years ago. I'll try to find it and send you a copy, where I said that if you look at all the polls about abortion, Hispanic women are one of the most anti-abortion voting blocks in the country. But I bring this up for one simple reason. And that is because the party has gotten a lot more radical on abortion now than it was before. Before, it was one of those, well, you know, it's a woman's choice and so on. But now it's a lot more radical, like you were saying. And I think it may be an opportunity. I certainly hope so, that it's an opportunity to communicate with Hispanics.
And if I can say this also,
sure,
about there is a moment where a woman has a choice, and it's before, not after.
Sure. That's right.
And you know, that's why I say so many people fall away from godly principles, and you know, we put ourselves in these traps. So only we can change our own course. It's
mm-hmm.
We can't expect someone to do it for us.
Right.
But
no, I agree.
I pray that the Hispanic community, Hispanic people, Latinos who've been holding on to the Democrat Party, that
mm-hmm.
that they are disgusted by what the party's
yes.
doing right now.
Well, they should be disgusted, not just on abortion, but in many other issues, the economy, and just the way that they're doing this impeachment process, you know, by doing it in secret and selectively putting out information. You know, it's going to be a challenge. And the last time around, President Trump, the number that I saw was 27% that he received nationally, that is. And when you consider that he had so much going against him, 3 out of 10 Hispanics still voted for him. That's why I feel confident. I cannot prove it with numbers or polls, but I think he's going to be around 35% this time around. It could even be maybe 36, 37. And that difference could be significant in places like Nevada, New Mexico, and it could be, I don't think it's going to matter in California, because that's pretty much lost the way it is. But it could be a difference in some state races here and some districts here in Texas. And you know, and when you add to that, we didn't talk about African Americans, but I'm also sensing some improvement in the African American community as far as support for Trump. There were also a lot of African American signs at the Trump rally.
Yes.
So I feel that he's clicking. I feel, Duke, that he's clicking.
Clicking.
He's clicking.
Yeah. He's clicking. And here's another thing. The the Hispanics, blacks, and all those others, minorities, they're, in a way, we're all unifying. We're in an area of blacks, Hispanics, Asians. Did you see the deal that was in Houston the other day? Where they had the Prime Minister of India speak?
Mm-hmm. Well, refresh my memory. For some of the audience who may not remember.
Well, this was about a month ago, and
yes.
President Trump spoke
at
the Indian-American Relations Coalition or something to that effect. And there were 40,000 people, Indian-Americans, who were there to listen to their prime minister from India. And he came up there and he introduced President Trump, and you would have thought that they had known each other for
mm-hmm.
their whole lives. He
mm-hmm.
had so much respect for President Trump. And so, you know, now you have India. And did you see the deal the other day that talked about Native Americans are about to jump on board the Trump train as well?
I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised. Again, I'm not surprised because many, at some point, failure catches up with a political party. And if you look at, for example, the black neighborhoods, like the big inner cities run by the Democrat Party,
mm-hmm.
they're all a disaster. I mean, if you are a family in the inner city, your public schools are falling apart. What is the Democrat leadership doing for you? Nothing. It's falling.
Mm-hmm.
The schools are falling apart. The streets are full of crime. The businesses are moving out. So I think people see what's going on, and they don't see the results. And I do think that's their biggest problem. The Democrats just don't have results. They cannot tell people. It's like I was saying the other day that there's two electoral strategies. One strategy is you tell people to vote for you because you have a message. And the other strategy is you tell people to vote against the other guy because you don't have a message. And I think that's where the Democrats are. They don't have a message. So their only message is Trump's a racist. Trump is this. Trump is that. That's all they have. That's all they have, Duke. But I think after a while, that becomes a little bit like the boy who cried wolf. After a while, you're saying, okay, you've told me 10,000 times that Trump is a racist, but what are you going to do about Obamacare? Because I cannot afford the premiums, Duke.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a good thing President Trump was elected, because we would still be paying those penalties if he hadn't been. I know that was an immediate benefit to me with his election, is that I no longer had to pay those penalties.
Right,
but
exactly.
But let me tell
you and lots
of small
business people.
I'll tell you what it is.
But I was going to say
you
very quickly. Let me say something very quickly about that before you go on. When you just said about that premium or that charge or that tax,
mm-hmm.
that's what a lot of small business people were saying too. Because they were being hit
mm-hmm.
by that penalty as well. Go ahead, Duke. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes, sir. No, that's okay. Well, the one thing there's a lot of things I want to say, but
sure.
The thing that I believe is starting to resonate is that people are starting to listen to Trump speak.
Mm-hmm.
They're listening to him speak from position of leadership, authority. He has a game plan. He's working his plan. He's not doing things on a whim. He doesn't bow to the pressures of the media or to threats. If he feels something needs to be done and it's going to improve the country, he's going to do it. He doesn't care if he fades. He'll fade the heat. He's
mm-hmm.
going to speak from the heart. And he loves this country. And those things are evident. Those things come across clearly to Hispanics, to Latinos,
absolutely.
Whatever we want to call ourselves. Right?
No, I agree with you 100%. Let me take a quick break, Duke. Let me take a quick break.
Yes.
And then when we come back, we'll continue. I just want to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with our friend Duke Machado. I want you to hear from the music. I want you to hear the music of my good friend Carlos Guedes. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Just a little taste there of my friend Carlos Guedes. We have a link to his website and the show information. Carlos plays around the Dallas area, and we get to play his music on our podcast, on our show. And I want to tell everybody, if you go around, check on his website and see where he's playing, I guarantee you two things. The music is going to be good, and the food is going to be absolutely great. Plus, he's from Venezuela. If you want to talk about socialism, take a few minutes and chat with our friend Carlos Guedes. Let's get back to our friend Duke Machado, and we're talking about Hispanics and President Trump. Let me, if I just quickly, I know we're kind of running out of time, but I wanted to bring up the issue of immigration, because I've always felt that the Hispanic population is misunderstood when it comes to immigration. A lot of the people that I talk to will say this: I love immigrants, they make the country better, but they need to come in legally. And that's what I hear all the time, and that's how I personally feel. Our family came to the United States legally. My parents had to go through a process to come legally in the United States. And I think that Hispanics, when they see this chaos on the border, when they see the chaos of illegal immigration, the problems of illegal immigration, whether it's, what it's doing to our cities, what it does to our schools and so on, I don't think they support that, Duke. That's how I feel. What are you picking up on immigration from Hispanics, Duke?
I agree with you on that, Silvio. You know, there's American citizens who are of Hispanic descent. And at some point, they earned or were born here or whatever, however they became citizens. And for anyone to circumvent the process, it's like they're cutting in line. It's like they're cheating. And nobody likes a cheater. So there is a large group of Latino Hispanics who agree with that, and they don't like it either. That said, we already know there's millions and millions of illegal immigrants here right now. And, President Trump wants to help on that front. He has a plan. He's put plans forward. Democrats don't want to do anything about it because they don't want to give that ground up to Republicans, especially not to President Trump.
Right.
And so,
well,
you know, they would rather see all these dreamers continued suffering than to actually accomplish something.
I agree with you. And in fact, a year, back in the spring of 2018, so that would be a year and a half ago, President Trump actually said, look, I'm willing to fight for the legalization of 2 million dreamers. And
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to do that, but I need something from the Democrats. You know, and I thought, what a great opportunity if the Democrats were truly interested in helping the dreamers. That would have been the moment to say, okay, Mr. President, let's talk. Let's get those kids legalized or those young people legalized. And what do you need from us? And maybe we can negotiate something. But
and
no,
you know,
as you say, they didn't want to do anything because they didn't want to give Trump a victory. So they threw the dreamers under the bus. That's what they did.
Yes.
They basically took the dreamers
yes.
and threw them under the bus.
And you know what? Hispanics see that. And that's another thing. When you add them all up, it's another thing that will cause more Hispanics to support President Trump.
I agree with you, because if you're a dreamer, and I know dreamers cannot technically vote because they're not citizens. I realize that. But they influence
mm-hmm.
people. And if you're a dreamer and you just saw the best opportunity that you've had, because DACA was a joke. I mean, look, DACA was nothing but an executive order 90 days before his reelection. DACA was nothing
mm-hmm.
But a joke.
It was
I mean,
a
everybody
Band-Aid.
Knew that it was.
Yeah, it was a
Band-Aid. That's all that it was,
mm-hmm.
just a bit. And everybody knew that it would eventually run out because it's executive orders do that. But Trump was willing to fight for it in Congress, and I think he would have gone the distance and probably gotten it. But the Democrats didn't want to do it because they didn't want to give him a victory. And I tell, you know, I've heard that from dreamers. I've heard from dreamers saying how disappointed they are with the Democrats. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's something going
yeah.
on out there, Duke.
It's time to change camp. You know, the Latinos have gone long enough. How much longer can you ride that horse? You know, it's time to make a switch. And
that's
and
right.
I know you got to run. I want to get
sure.
this in
go
real
ahead.
Quick, if it's okay. So
no,
the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, we are very focused on encouraging Hispanics to vote in the primary, to go to their primary convention, their county convention, state convention, and do all they can to get to the national convention, because it's already been told that we need as many Hispanic, Latino, Republican delegates at the national convention that we can get. So this is
no,
a
that's
call
great.
To action.
Absolutely. And send me the link, if you could, please. Send me the link.
Yes, sir.
I'll put
that.
It on the show information so that you know, people have it. But you know, this is, to me, this is an important moment, I think. I have a friend, African-American friend, conservative, maybe you know him, conservative African-American friend, Bob Parks. He's in the East Coast. And when he talks about blacks and the Democrat Party, he says, look, if you keep taking the car to the same mechanic and he doesn't fix it, it's time to change mechanics. And that's my message
yeah.
to Hispanics. Look, you know, you've been
mm-hmm.
you know, you were promised in 2008, vote for us and we're going to give you immigration reform. They voted for Obama. They didn't get immigration reform, even though they had all the votes to do it. There wasn't a single Republican who could have stopped immigration reform. They had all the votes they needed, and they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do the DREAM Act either when they had the votes. So, I mean, at some point, you know, people have to say, you know what? These Democrats are just pulling our leg. They're just telling us what we
yeah.
want to hear. And that's
yeah.
where
how many times were you? Yeah. How many times were you accept a lie?
Absolutely. You're exactly right. Duke, count on me for any work with the assembly,
awesome.
Anything you need. You know, we have our podcast, and you're welcome
yes,
anytime,
sir.
As many times as you want to come and update us. And let's just work together. This is a common goal, as you say.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Sylvia. Appreciate your time, and you continue your awesome work. You're the most consistent podcaster in Texas, I believe.
Okay.
And,
well,
I appreciate
thank you
all
so
you
much.
Do.
Thank you
right.
so much.
Take
I appreciate
care.
It.
Right.
Thank you and good night. Duke
okay.
Machado, our good friend, as I say, we went, you know, I was looking at the archives. We go back to 2012. That was the last time that I remember talking to Duke on the podcast. And then, of course, we were talking about Romney back in 2012, Romney versus Obama. But there's a great opportunity for Hispanics, I think, in 2020 to, as they say, change directions. You know, they've been voting Democrat for quite some time, and the Democrats are not delivering. So, you know, give the Republicans a chance. You might be surprised. Might be surprised that something good happens when you, you know, I really feel that way, that something good, you know, every once in a while you have to change. It's like, you know, if you go to the same restaurant every week and you're not happy with it, well, go somewhere else. Mechanic, you go somewhere else. You have to change. At some point, you have to change. If what you're doing is not working or giving you results, you have to change. Give the other guy a chance. And I think Hispanics have that opportunity with the Republican Party here in 2020. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Again, thanks to my friend Duke Machado for joining us, and we congratulate him and everybody at the Hispanic Assembly for the great work they do. I see a lot of the stuff on social media, so I know they're doing a fantastic job promoting the Republican Party with Hispanics. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.